Hello, friends. Grace, greetings. Welcome to another Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm Paul White, and I'm honored today to be in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Now, if you're jumping in thinking, oh, I thought we were in Romans. Well, the reason that we are in 2 Corinthians 5 is because in Romans 5, we're introduced to the topic of reconciliation, 10th and 11th verses. So we are taking a few days to look at the other passages in the New Testament that deal with that topic. When I was younger, I would hear it taught a lot, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now that's Bible. What I was told that meant is, if you're going to preach it, let there be at least two or three verses. Don't preach it if there's not two or three verses. That's not what that means, but that stuck with me. I can't say that and then not qualify. What that verse means is that you were not allowed to be convicted under the Mosaic law for a capital crime without two or three witnesses. You couldn't have one person say, I saw that guy do it, and that be the end of it. You had to have more. And that makes sense. The way we used it, though, it made me think, well, you don't preach it if you don't get two or three verses. And I don't know, I wasn't always true to that, but I did keep it in mind. And I remember I'd teach the Holy Ghost through a Pentecostal lens, and I would go stack up as many Acts verses and Corinthians verses as I could to support that cause. As I look back, it kind of helped me in Bible study because it caused me to go deeper. That's kind of the source of this whole podcast, to go deeper than just, oh, I got a verse, so I would go look for two or three, and if possible, 10, and try to apply them. Where it hurt me, because there's a little bit of a double-edged sword to that, where it probably hurt me is that there were passages in the New Testament I would read, and I would not allow them to penetrate my heart through revelation because I couldn't find another one that said the same thing. So where Peter says in 1 Peter 3:10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his lips from speaking evil. Although that's in the Old Testament, that Peter was just quoting it, so I didn't feel like that was two different passages. I would not have really based my doctrine on the fact that you could love life and see good days. Because I didn't see enough that said exactly that. So there's a danger in falling into that trap. Got to have two or three witnesses. That's not what the two or three witnesses means. There's only one verse that says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That doesn't mean that because there's only one, it's not good. All right? But there are several passages about reconciliation. And 2 Corinthians 5 is one of them. Verse 19, here's where we were yesterday. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, not reckoning, not counting, not legizomai. That's an accounting term. Not counting their trespasses to them or against them, and has committed to us that word of reconciliation. Now, we have been committed the word of reconciliation at the end of 19, but at the end of 18, we were committed the ministry of reconciliation, which tells me that the ministry of reconciliation is the word of reconciliation. And if you want to know what we should be ministering as ministers, what does the ministry of reconciliation look like? The 19th verse is the perfect definition of what it looks like. God was in Christ, that's one. Two, he was reconciling or bringing the world back to himself. Three, by not counting their trespasses to them. So at Calvary, Jesus was not alone. God was in Christ. You say, Pastor Paul, it's so clear in the Gospels that Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So surely Jesus was forsaken at the cross. And I don't believe Jesus was forsaken at the cross. Let me tell you why. Because in Psalms 22, the chapter opens with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's David talking to God. Jesus quotes David talking to God at the cross to point his audience to Psalm 22, because in Psalms 22, you will find out what's going on. And there was mass confusion at Calvary on the part of his own disciples. They didn't show up at his crucifixion because they thought he was cursed of God. Because Deuteronomy said, cursed is every man who hangs on a tree. So Jesus points his audience to Psalm 22 so that if they go and read the psalmist, that chapter will tell them remarkable facts about the crucifixion. I don't have time to go through all of it, but that's the chapter that tells them they're going to pierce his hands and his feet, that they're going to divide his garments, that they're going to cast lots for his garments, that he would die, but they won't break any of his bones. That, and then you get to this, verse number, I'm looking at it as I'm talking to you. Verse 24, Psalm 22, 24. He has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. Psalms very clearly says, God does not hide his face from his son. So God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is not God and Jesus divorcing one another at the cross? This would have God not knowing the feelings of your infirmities. It would have God and Jesus as two distinct people who for a moment were separated. That God and Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He doesn't ask to be split from the Father. He asks for a return to the glory of the Father. So at Calvary, where was God? According to 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ. Why was he there? To reconcile the world to himself. How did he do it? By not counting their sins against them. How did he not count their sins against them? Because God counted them on behalf of himself. He placed them on himself. Peter would say he bore our sins in his body on the tree. What does Peter mean? He means all that I had done wrong, God accounted it on behalf of Jesus so that he could not account it on behalf of me. God can't put sin in the body of Jesus at Calvary and then count sin in your body, because he's being untrue to Jesus. And if he did count it in the body of Jesus and then counts it in you, he's being untrue to the ministry of reconciliation. Or you could say it this way. If he's going to count sins in your body, and he counted them in Jesus' body, Jesus was deceived when he said, it is finished. Because he was coming to take, to do what John the Baptist said he was going to do, to take away the sin of the world. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 doesn't stop there. There's a very important part where Paul continues onward and says this. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God, this verse 20, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So this is the reception of the reconciliation. God has accomplished it in Christ. You receive it, and then you can walk in it. Here's the knowledge that you need in order to receive it. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's vitally important for our understanding. Tomorrow we'll move on to the Colossians passage of reconciliation. Have a great day. God bless.